At 11:01, according to the WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford.
Saturday night and you're listening to the swinging sounds of bubbles in the think tank. Belinda, the dominatrix of the airwaves, is on the air.
What two of the silliest, the worst of radio programming anyway?
Our ever embiggening staff is working hard for you.
And when January Fairy makes the
she's sparkly through and through. So set your dial to 91.5 and let us do the rest, cause we've been double dong daring you since 1990. Bubbles in the think tank on WMFO in Medford Stereo.
Now at 11:04, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's 2+ of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. I think it really is 2. All the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double dong daring you since 1990. Even when the boys do it for me, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Speaking of which, I really need to thank those boys. So I've been gone for 2 weeks, but we had Mike Conway from Classic Rock Mine on 2 weeks ago, Ryan D. from Music Savage on last week. Goodness gracious, they are good at this. You're so good to them over there at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group. They love doing the show. I love having them do the show. I am so lucky to have a bevy of boys to fill in for me. And of course, one fabulous woman. It's the best. The best, I tell you. Makes me feel so secure that I can go off. I can gallivant if I need to, and everything's going to be just fine. Fine, I tell you. But as you saw at previously referenced Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group, you saw that I was thinking about you while I was away. It always happens. Try not to. Try to pack it all in some remote piece of my brain and not think about anything here, but the show's different. It's part of my life. It is my life. I'm glad to be back with you, the listener. Speaking of the listener, let's think about one listener in particular tonight, shall we? Let's. So, of course, with my trip and getting ready for it and stupid work and blah, 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 and so much blah, blah, blah. Right before I left, we found that a member of our ever-embiggening staff here at Bubbles in the Think Tank was going to be down for the count for a little bit. And he's back. He's back up. You know him, you love him. It's our chairman of the board in the New York office, Sweet Joe Silver. Of course, he had a little bout of the brain flu, let's call it. But he's back. Probably better than ever. Hopefully he's going to be around here at Bubbles in the Think Tank tonight to exercise the churling portion of his brain. That's my great hope tonight. But I thought I'd put together a little show all about Joe's brain. That's how much I love him. I love you, Sweet Joe Silver. Just want to get that out there. On the record, honest and for true. And with that, let us do this thing. Oh, by the way, we are going to have the radio obituaries coming up in around about 55 minutes, something like that. And then just know that we will be spilling over a little bit tonight, as it is spring break here at the Tufts University. So we won't go terribly late, but there will be a few minutes additional in the radio obituaries tonight. So let's get things started right here on your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford.
Perfectly happy to stay away from you. Talking to people like they ain't even there. Babies, if you're crying, you just barge in and swear. Slapping commands like a big army sarge. The mask all the holes and you're going quite large. It's no use, just tell the truth. You're scared and you're shaking. You're losing your youth. Well, I've got a head made of brains and bones. I remember everything you told me on the phone. Call me a liar, call me a swine. It's a comfort to me. You're running out of time. Haven't you anything better to do? Wear yourself out, bother me too. Like a comedy at a funeral, you're making things tense. Go join the circus, now that would make sense. Shout me down till I slam shut the door. Call me up, cost me more. Violence usually stops at my lips, but when you enter the room, my hand falls up fist. Somewhere else where they can use someone just like yourself. You can snort and stomp, sting like a bug. Your mouth will be a wart for the taste of new blood. We'll all be happy, we'll all dance around the day your car got run out of our town. Just to be sure, we'll wait till it's gone, then we'll raise up our flag. We'll be right back.
Mary Backstage, Noble Wife. The story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and of their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway. Back safely from their adventures in the Dry Tortugas, Mary and Harry are concentrating on a return to their theatrical career by way of a television game show to be produced by Greg Marlowe. As we join them, they're in the studios of Amalgamated Broadcasting discussing the format of the program with the director, Phil Fish, who says,
"First, let me say how nice it is to be working with you two people again. I'm sorry that your last series, Mr. and Mrs. Broadway, didn't go longer than it did."
"Well, it was one of those things."
"Oh, yes, and we were getting pretty tired of it anyway, Phil."
"Well, we decided after that failure that it was the time of day. You know, we're on at 5:30 a.m.
"Yes, I know you were."
"And you don't have many viewers at that time of day. I don't care what anybody says."
"And besides, the big thing right now isn't so much a talk show as it is a game show. Big money, big prizes, a lot of fun." "Well, look, I think we'll have the big archway where the contestants come onto the stage right over there where that car understanding."
"Oh, that's nice."
"That would put you, Mrs. Bax, may I call you Mary?"
"Please."
"Mary, that would put you over here to the stage left, and Harry, I think you would be at the other side, stage right."
"Now, I'm going to play the organ, you know, all the funny music when the contestant comes on, and then when they give a wrong answer, I'll have kind of a funny, sour note to play on the organ. Where will I be seated?"
"Adds a little humor. You'll be right over there just off the edge of the stage where you can see the program in a monitor or a little television set."
"Will I ever get on camera, Mr. Fay?"
"Oh, I'm sure we'll see that you do, Calvin."
"Well, it's not that I care particularly. I just know the mother of me would be a little thrilled or delighted to see me on the TV set."
"She'll be tuned in. Incidentally, when is this scheduled to begin, Phil, do you know?" "No, Mr. Marlowe hasn't told me that either. There are quite a few loose ends, I think, that have to be cleared up before we start."
"Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you. Have you..."
"Yes?"
"Have you decided on the time of day for this show?"
"Oh, I think this will be on early evening, maybe 7:30 or so."
"Oh, that's a good time."
"Oh, that's a great time. We'll get everybody for it."
"Now, you want us to have a regular run-through, is that it?"
"That's right, Mary. We'll just feel loose about it. Calvin, you'll announce the opening of the show, and then you'll go over there and come in as the sample contestant." "Oh. This is just a run-through, you know."
"Yes, I understand. Now, where will I do the announcing? Into what microphone, and then where will I go to come out then as the first contestant?"
"You'll use that microphone just off stage to your left."
"Uh-huh."
"Then you'll come through the arch in the center of the stage down to where Mary and Harry sit at the question desk."
"I see."
"And as I understand it, we're going to have three rounds of questions, Phil, is that right?" "No, just one question, the qualifying question. Then they go on to identify the tune, and then they estimate the number of kernels in that barrel of popping corn."
"All
so
right.
Go and take your place. I'll go into the control room, and we'll start off just as if this was a real show."
"Sorry."
"Go ahead."
"Now it's time for Pick Your Brains with Harry and Mary Backstage. And now here they are, the human encyclopedias, Mr. and Mrs. Backstage."
"Thank you very much, Calvin Hoogevin."
"Thank you, Calvin. And hello again, game lovers, and welcome to Pick Your Brains."
"Oh, we're going to have fun here tonight. We're going to meet some wonderful contestants. Let's bring the first one right out here now."
I'm Calvin Hoogevin.
"If you give us a correct answer, you'll hear this. And if you give us an incorrect answer, you'll hear this. Now, we have three rounds, a qualifying question, then a song to identify, and then you have to estimate the popping corn. Do you want to pick a category for your first question?"
"Okay. Articles of the Confederation."
"No, that's the answer. You're reading the answer, Calvin."
"Oh.
Here's the subject up here.
American Revolution."
"American Revolution. All right, Mr. Hoogevin. For your first question, between 1777 and 1781, as a result of the Revolution, the 13 colonies adopted a code of laws under which they attempted but failed to govern themselves. These laws were known by a specific name. What was it?"
"You have 10 seconds, Mr. Hoogevin."
"One... two, three, four..."
"The Articles of Confederation."
"Right! You are right! Very good, and you can go along now to identify the tune, the second part of your Pick Your Brains game show." "We're going to ask Mr. Music over there. You're Mr. Music,
Calvin." "I'm Mr. Music,
right.
In reality..."
"Well, for this practice, you'll have to run over and play..."
"Oh, let me run over to the organ."
"We're going to ask Mr. Music over there at the organ to play a part of a very familiar song, and you're to identify that song. Are you ready, Mr. Hoogevin?
I'm ready to play the
over
song.
Over here into the microphone, Galvin.
What?
Come over here and answer.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now, you all ready for your identifying tune?
Yes, sir.
All right. And here is your song to identify. All right, now, what was that song, Mr. Hoogevin? Back over this microphone, Galvin.
All right, I'll tell
you. Now, you heard Mr. Music play part of a very familiar song.
Could I see
if you can identify it.
Could I hear that once more?
Yes, of course. Mr. Music, I wonder if you'd play those few notes once more. Here they are, Mr. Hoogevin. Listen closely. Oh, wait. I was talking while he was playing. Let's try it again from over here. Listen very closely now, Mr. Hoogevin, as Mr. Music plays those few notes.
Wait a minute. You gotta give me... I'm out of breath.
I don't blame you. So am I.
Where am I? Am I a contestant or Mr. Music?
You're a contestant now, but when I say Mr. Music, you're Mr. Music.
Well, the next thing I do, am I Mr. Music?
Mr. Music, you play the song.
All right.
All right. Now, Mr. Music, will you play that tune, please? All right, now. Now, Mr. Hoogevin, you have 5 seconds to identify that melody. What was it?
I don't know.
And so rehearsals go on for the backstage's television game show, Pick Your Brains. But there's a surprise in store next time when we'll hear Greg Marlowe say,
I have big news for you.
That's in the next exciting episode of Merry Backstage Noble Wife. Word Carr speaking.
Look at the field.
Look at the grass.
Look at the man.
He's sitting on the grass. Look at the man.
He's sitting on the grass.
He's eating a sandwich.
It's cheese and tomato. The man is a sandwich.
His body's the cheese.
His brain's the tomato.
His legs are the bread. See him stand up.
And fall down again.
His legs made of bread.
His brain a tomato. I said a tomato.
His brain a tomato.
The pips are his thoughts.
The juice is like blood.
The juice is like blood.
Rising and the prologue is striding onto the stage.
To all of you that may possess a nervous disposition, I'd like to warn you straight away about our composition. We wrote it on the ferry boat from Ostend going to Dover, and I do pray that this our play won't turn your stomachs over. Act 1, Scene 1. The time, the present, the place, the assembly room of a large German university.
of fame, of riches, of popularity. In return for your brain, I offer you £10,000 per year, a new house and a car.
No.
I offer you £15,000 per year, 10 wives, a tapeworm, and a color TV set.
No.
I offer you £25,000 per year, a head transplant, 15 frying pans, and Don Partridge in a pear tree. What shall we do, audience?
Open the sky!
Off in the theatre, and the audience is getting very angry. They're shouting, yes, and things are flying about. A fight has started in one of the boxes, and a man has fallen from the circle. Now the prologue has walked onto the stage.
Who are these creatures who from chaos create cacophony, and why are you here to watch? Stand and stare and grin and gape with mouths drawn back and eyes of marble?
Listen, if we are very quiet,
we can hear the sound of human pigs.
The noises of your bodies are a part of our play.
We're still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And we all love Joe Silver. Our chairman of the board in the New York office. That's what this is all about. I want to make sure everyone knows that. Of course, I also forgot everything else I have to do. But that's okay, because we're good at this, good enough to be able to quickly do something like this. As generous a nation as we are, we sometimes almost give instead of giving. Don't almost give, give. To find out how you can help, visit don'talmostgive.org. It's a message brought to you by the Ad Council, and not one of their finest. Oh, I never make qualitative statements about public service announcements, but that one needs it. To Golden, Colorado with us. Immediately. No. Immediately, we should go back to the silliness right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
For Hans. Schweinen Helga.
Did you read the paper? Have you
his breath. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. Life-giving liquids keep his brain alive, though. He shouts to the driver and he says, let's go! He doesn't comb his hair, but it looks real neat. He's ruling the world from the back seat. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. Ow! He's riding around in the back of a staff car. His body's gone, put his head in a glass jar. A thread on his life and they had to move quick. They removed his head, but not his prick, no, no. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain. They saved Hitler's brain.
Cut in. I was a teenage brain surgeon, a teenage brain surgeon, a rockin' rollin' brain surgeon, the sharpest operator in town.
I'll look right out on the lonely down and out. is upside down.
Terrible, terrible.
Yeah, my brain is cloudy, my soul is upside down.
I think I know what you mean.
When I get that low-down feeling, I know the blues must be someplace around.
Oh, let's go from here.
Well, you got to treat me right, day by day. Uh-huh. Get out your little prayer book, get down upon your knees and pray, 'cause you're gonna need, you're gonna need my help someday. Yeah, you're going to be sorry, you treat me this way.
Boy, brother Junior. Ah, let's get it low there, Junior. Yes, you know what low means. Well, don't we all? Ah! Here's that man again.
Well, good evening. Allie. Don't that sun look good going down?
Certainly does. I'm gonna agree with you. Brain's
well, back. Good evening. Don't that sun look good going down?
Electric lights you're looking at, boy.
Don't your home look lonesome when your lover ain't around?
That makes sense, yes.
Now I've tried everything, baby, to get along with you.
Try buying her new
and
dress.
Now I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna stop crying, gonna leave you alone.
That's the old spirit.
If you don't think I'm leaving, you can count the days I'm gone. 'Cause you're gonna need, you're gonna need my help someday. Yeah, you're going to be sorry. You treat me this way.
Can we have your name, sir?
Maston, Bob Maston.
Bob, we can now get into the human brain. We can listen to what the brain is thinking even before the being who possesses the brain expresses that thought. Is it your feeling that this is going a little too far?
No, I think it's like any other discovery. Fire, explosives, anything else.
Would you be interested yourself in finding out what your brain was thinking and listening to those thoughts?
Well, if it would accomplish something. For the, it's like listening to gossip. Gossip is no good. But if there's a thought behind it, a purpose in it, then it would be interesting.
What essentially it boils down to is a device would be, a recording device would be lowered into your brain after a surgical opening. It would be lowered into your brain and it would record thoughts that are just being formulated at the time that the device was loaded into your brain. You would go along with this, wouldn't you?
What would be the purpose of it?
Well, a recording would be made.
Well, it would depend. What would be gained out of it?
It would...
Would it help somebody? Would it aid me?
It would...
Would it be an advantage to it?
Sure. Insofar as your personal benefit is concerned, you would have privy, you would have access to a thought that was being formulated in your brain that might never reach a conscious level. Hmm. That's what it would... That's how you would gain. Others would gain in another way.
In other words, what you're doing, you're probing the subconscious to bring it out to attention of your conscious mind.
Right.
Right. And then we're going to put it on a phonograph record.
Well, now that would be interesting. To...
Would you be willing to go along with it? Would you be willing to contribute your thoughts?
Contribute?
We want to open your head up and make a recording, right?
That's what it boils down to.
Who's going to do it?
We're trying to make a buck, just like everybody else, let's face it.
We're going to turn out an LP, get it in stores, it'll be your thoughts, you won't make any money on it, it'll be your thoughts, and we'll make the money because we perform the operation if it comes out.
You would get to hear your own thoughts, that's what it would boil down to. All we're asking you to do is to accompany us to a room in this area. It's not an involved operation.
The fact that you aren't doctors in the first place, I would never let anyone operate or do anything to me that wasn't a medically approved.
This isn't medical. We got our background is mostly in carpentry. We use carpentry tools. We have a regular bit drill. We drill right into your head just like a 2x4.
I think that you should stick to drilling wood and not my head.
I think your concept of it is perhaps a little unrealistic. It's just a very simple matter.
Well, you know the saying, the The cure was wonderful, but the patient died.
Frankie Masters and his orchestra present Scatterbrain. Such a scatterbrain. When you smile, it's so delightful. When you talk, it's so insane. Still, it's charming chat is scatterbrain. I know I'll end up apoplectic, but there's nothing I can do. It's just the same as being in a hurricane. And though my life will be too hectic, I'm so much in love with you. Nothing else can matter. You're my darling scatterbrain.
This is your brain. And this is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. This is your brain on drugs with two strips of bacon. This is your brain on drugs with a pound of ground beef, a can of crushed tomatoes, a half cup of milk, and a bay leaf. This is your brain on drugs, with a street crew working in the next brain. And this is your brain on drugs when you've left it on the stove too long, and it caused a kitchen fire that spread to the neighborhood of your brain. Any questions? The Partnership for a Brain-Free America.
Well, I'm tired, so tired, tired, tired. This is fiction, we can safely believe it.
And it made Freud realize there were mental processes that go on very significantly outside of conscious awareness. He puzzles about hypnosis. How is it that I can affect a human being's mind without his consciousness? What goes on here? That there's a powerful influence without the knowledge and the cognition of the patient.
We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things. We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things, how we know things.
Is your heaven in the sky, Trudy?
Yes.
I think statistic that people have come up with and from various points of view is that we're one quarter conscious and three quarters unconscious at all times.
Well, you don't have an answer.
Does anybody feel close to God when they're happy?
We're one quarter conscious and three quarters unconscious at all times.
You feel it in your head.
Well, you don't have an answer.
You feel it in your head.
Well, you don't have an answer. Well, that's because God.
You feel it in your head.
Well, that's because God. That's just a too dreadful way to conduct religion. And it's also doomed because it means that the more things science is able to explain, the smaller and smaller part of the unpainted part of the floor is left for you, this poor God that you've created to occupy. That doesn't, it just seems silly. It's the path that one is drawn into when you start trying to use nature to prove God's existence.
Whatever religion, Christian, Protestant, Hebrew, Catholic, there's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
one quarter conscious and three quarters unconscious at all times, and that both are functioning together in tandem with self-knowledge, without self-knowledge.
Isn't unconscious just another part of the brain that's operating? It's not some mystical
force. We're not
force.
Just brains. No, it's not a mystical force, but it's unconscious. We can't know it in the same way.
No matter what the form of worship, prayer makes certain regions of the brain light up
like this.
In a special and unique way.
Like this.
The frontal lobe, right behind the forehead,
like
focuses concentration.
Like this.
The limbic system, deep in the center, triggers feelings of awe and joy. The parietal lobe at the back of the brain brings on that feeling of becoming part of something greater than oneself.
But the limbic system can be a place where fear is stored, but it can also be, as we're learning now, a place where that faith is stored as well. I think they're trying to find, is there a scientific basis for faith?
Why even bother studying it?
It's controversial, it's difficult.
Why even bother studying it?
Out of all the different kind of faiths, is this something that binds us together? Do our brains, no matter our faith, all seem to light up the same way? And does something change in the brain when someone is faithful?
Well, you're a neurosurgeon. What do you make of these brain scans showing the brain responding to prayer in a particular, very unique way?
I think there's something there.
The brain is shaken inside the skull.
Personally won over.
Yeah.
You are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO, Medford.